Hi friends, and welcome back to my sunroom. We are here for episode 6, and today I have beads in my hair. So if you hear some, I don't know if you can hear that, but if you hear some jingling as I'm talking, know that it is the beads in my hair. I collect beads in my travels and I get them as gifts from friends, and I also make clay beads with different clays that I come across in my pottery making, and every now and then I'll add them to my hair, and it's fun. And it's something that I started to do maybe a couple years ago. I started adding beads to my hair because it's something that I did as a little girl. My mom would, whenever my mom would do my hair, she would add beads or little colorful barrettes. It's a really common experience as a little black girl. And I just remember always that it brought me so much joy to have like little accessories in my hair. Made me feel special. And so I, at some point decided to bring that into my adulthood, and it really does make me really happy. So if you ever are thinking, what could I give Ayana as a gift for her birthday or something like that? Not that you have to give me a gift, but I love beads, and I feel like even just one, if you were to see, if anyone, you know, were to see one out in the world and think of me, I feel like that would be really sweet. So yeah, it's the little things. Anyways, so today I wanted to talk about this feeling of being rich that I have in my life. I'm very grateful to feel this way. And I think it was sparked by the concept of like being rich in this sense that I'm going to talk about. I kind of discovered through this artist on Instagram that I found. Her name is Anna Laura Sullivan, and she's got really cute little watercolor drawing paintings of little animals, and they're doing the most wholesome things. And her art has like such profound, beautiful messaging that I love so much. I'm sure many of you have probably seen her work. If not, please go check her out on Instagram. But yeah, she had one little comic strip that I had to buy from her. And it's like four different images of these cute little watercolor painted animals. And in each one, like there's one where one of the animals is like sitting in front of a table that's like full of food and is surrounded by their friends. And they've all got their hands up, like with big smiles on their face, and the caption is, "I'm rich." And I think another one is like, the scene is like they're watching the sunrise and the caption is, "I'm rich." And maybe there's one with two little animals like walking hand in hand and they're like, "I'm rich." And it's just so sweet to like view little things like that, seemingly little things like that, as something to celebrate and to be really grateful for, and for those things to make you feel like a sense of abundance. So when I say rich, I don't mean, you know, financially by any means, or that you have all these things or a really nice car, a really big house. I more so mean, yeah, that like feeling of abundance and gratitude for what you have and who you are, the relationships that you have. Regardless of how much money you may have, I think it's something that we can all experience and feel. It's just kind of a mindset. And so, yeah, there's, I think, lots of ways to get to this mentality, this mindset. And it's something that humans have always seemed to strive for and often, you know, struggled to find. But and then there are some people who are just wired naturally to be in that mindset. I personally have gotten to that mindset through, you know, several different things, but I think the biggest thing for me has been curiosity, having curiosity about myself, other people, whether it be people that are close to me in my life or complete strangers, and then also the world around me. Specifically when it comes to myself, I, like many people, was raised and conditioned to think and believe what my parents thought and believed. And I think, you know, that's normal, right? Because parents generally think that they know what's best to teach their kids for the most part, and want to teach them what they know, what they think, what they believe. Especially when it comes to religion, I think parents tend to want to raise their kids to have a similar faith as them, because they believe that that's the truth. And I think it's very easy for us to get stuck in what we're taught from our parents and from society in general. It's very easy to just keep those beliefs, those thoughts, those opinions. And of course, there are things that we experience throughout our lives that maybe will change the things that we believed as children. But I think statistically, people tend to continue on in their lives with the same beliefs that they were taught as kids. And for me personally, there were a lot of things that I believed about myself because of society and my parents and the people that I grew up around, like my dark skin not being as beautiful as someone who had fairer skin. Or I previously believed that I really wanted children. I also previously believed that making money was like one of the most important things in order to be able to live a certain life. And those things I don't believe anymore. And that took me being curious about myself and questioning pretty much everything that I was taught to think and believe, and question, why do I believe this? Why do I think this? Why do I feel this way about this thing? And whenever I would ask myself those questions, if I couldn't find an explanation other than, well, that's what I was taught, or that's what everyone else does, or that's what I've always believed, then I know at that point it's time to dig a little deeper and to find the truth about what it is I actually think and believe. And in doing this, I'm able to consciously and intentionally make decisions and form opinions that aren't shaped by society's views, but my own. And I end up thinking and behaving in ways that are true to me rather than true to whoever influenced me. Yeah, so some examples of this that I think are maybe really common is, I previously believed that, you know, I wanted my body to look a certain way. I talked a little bit about this in my last episode. I, you know, as a woman in America in general, I think a lot of value is put on a certain body shape, body type. And my body I don't think it has ever fit into that standard. And like most people, like the vast majority of women, of people's bodies don't fit into the what is considered like conventionally attractive and beautiful. And I have always felt like that was the goal, something that I needed to work towards. And I guess the reason in wanting to work towards that is because I felt like, I don't know, maybe I would be treated better. Maybe I would be wanted or loved more if I looked a certain way. And in asking myself, why do I want to look this particular way? Why do I want my body to be this shape? Why do I want the scale to say this number? In asking myself that, I realized that I actually don't care that much. I care much more about being healthy and feeling good in my body. And that doesn't necessarily mean that I have this conventionally attractive supermodel body. And so that allows me to, instead of stressing over, oh, I can't eat this, or oh, I only lost 1 pound this week, or oh, I really need to work out for an hour and a half every other day, instead of stressing and pressuring myself and shaming myself into reaching this unattainable goal, I focus on my health and I focus on what makes my body feel good. And those are things that will contribute to a healthy lifestyle and make me feel good and make my life feel worth living. And I don't know. I think it's I don't want to say it's that simple because it does force you to question yourself, question your beliefs. And that takes a lot of time, energy, effort, but it's worth it, I would say. It's very worth it. Getting curious about yourself, I think, can lead to so much more fulfillment in life than living a life that's kind of shaped and molded by society and beliefs that you were taught as a child or like conditioned to have. So that's how I stay curious about myself. But what about other people? I would say it's pretty much the same concept. I think it's important to stay curious about other people and the way they live their lives and being curious about how they're processing things that happen and like world events and just having conversations with people, especially people who are different than you. Me and Mike are very similar in a lot of ways, but we are complete opposites in probably most ways, especially when it comes to processing information and coming to our own conclusions. We kind of have our own process for things. And in our conversations, when both of us are engaged and interested in what the other has to say, we learn so much about the other, and it helps us, despite our difference in processing information, communicate with the other. And this applies in arguments and in like calm, peaceful conversations. And yeah, it's led to me getting to know Mike and Mike getting to know me on a very intimate level. And I think that is possible with people regardless of your relationship to them. So it doesn't have to be your husband. It can be a friend. It could even be a stranger. All it takes is just, yeah, being curious and asking, what do you think about this? Why do you feel this way? And asking these questions and being curious about what they have to say and what they have going on in their lives can teach us new things. It can teach you things that you didn't know before, and it can make your relationship to them closer. And it can also make the other person feel like they have someone in their life that genuinely cares about them and what they have to say. And I personally believe that generally makes the world a better place. If everyone felt valued, and if everyone felt like they had someone in their life who was genuinely curious and interested in what they had to say and what they had going on, I think the world would be in a better, we would be in a better place. And it's so easy. I would even go as far as to say it's a little lazy to make assumptions about people and their lifestyle and even just what they're thinking at any given moment. I think that phrase about assuming is very accurate. I think because we are all flawed humans and we can't read minds, the vast majority of assumptions that we make about anything are likely wrong. And so rather than making assumptions about anything, I try my best to ask questions first. And I can use the information that I get from the answers to form an opinion, but that opinion will more than likely end up at least closer to the truth than my assumption might have been. So yeah, especially when it comes to my relationship with Mike, it's very easy to assume what he's thinking and think I know exactly what's on his mind, but it's always been so much better when I ask him, hey, is this how you feel about this thing? Is this what you think? So yeah, when we make assumptions about others, instead of trying to stay curious and ask questions, we end up closing ourselves off to different perspectives and to potentially learning something new, and also just opportunities to connect with people who are different from us. And I don't know, I think that's silly. I think one really good example that seems to be relevant, very relevant, especially now, is with politics and the things that are happening, especially here in America. I think it's easy to assume that someone who has opposing political views or beliefs or religious beliefs from you, I think it's easy to assume that, oh, they're not a good person or they hate these people. And sometimes that is the case. But I think before we come to that conclusion, it's important to like sit down and have a conversation and be curious and ask, why do you think this way? Where did you get this information? Why do you feel this way about this group of people? And oftentimes it will lead to a deeper conversation. Sometimes it will lead that person to maybe change their minds or maybe open their minds up to a new perspective. And often that's like the only way people will change their mind is having someone in their life who is willing to be curious and help them through thinking through something that they think or believe. So yeah, that's something that I've been trying to do more lately in my life, because I do have people, I personally am politically very progressive, and I believe that, you know, everyone deserves to have quality healthcare and clean water and clean air. Very simple things in my brain. But these are things that not everyone prioritizes. Not everybody cares as much as I do about like nature, for example, unfortunately. And so the people who I have in my life who have differing views or maybe conservative, rather than shutting them out of my life completely. Now, there are some people who I cannot have a conversation with, and that's different. But there are people, conservative people in my life who I have been able to have conversations with, civilized conversations, and yeah, just be able to talk about why we believe and think the way we do. And yeah, I would say those relationships, despite our differences, are healthy. And yeah. And then lastly, it's like I said, it's also important to stay curious about the world. So like science, history, culture, art, nature. I personally just don't like settling for not understanding something just because it's complex or that it seems complex or like hard to understand. I will try to find someone, if it's too hard for me to understand like through my own research, I will try and find someone who can break it down for me. Michael is really good at retaining information and breaking things, complex things down to like very simple terms. Even like he's a software engineer. So even that sometimes, like I'm curious about what he does on a regular basis. And sometimes he's able to break down these very complicated, complex like concepts into something that I can understand. Not everything, because it is kind of a complicated field, but it's cool to have someone in my life who can kind of break things down. That's with like science in general. I feel like Mike is a really good person to have because he can break things down like I'm five. But yeah, I think the more knowledge and understanding that we have about literally anything, it'll help you make better and more informed decisions, obviously. And from my experience, that makes life so much better than running off of autopilot and not really questioning anything and not trying to understand things that I don't understand. So yeah, ask questions and learn new things. I think it can literally change your life. It can make you feel a sense of like richness and abundance. And I feel like it's just such a simple thing. It kind of forces you to step outside of yourself even and accept the fact that what's in your head doesn't have to be the whole universe. Like you can open yourself up to the universe and it can just, yeah, open you up to opportunities and more possibilities and better relationships with other people and with yourself. And I think this can also help you find what you're truly passionate about and interested in. If you're constantly learning new things and taking in, you know, information about anything, I think that's just more data that you're feeding your brain. And just like I was curious about pottery and I took one class, and now I'm here with a whole pottery business. Like, I never would have even thought that 5 years ago I would be in a class one semester and that would change the trajectory of my entire life. So yeah, I think that's really cool. So yeah, I will close out all of this by also saying that I'm not saying that you need to be constantly trying to take in information. That can be exhausting, and you know, nobody has the time and energy to be always reading books and always asking questions and always like Googling things and like Googling, oh, what does, I just heard a word that I didn't know, let me Google that. Nobody has time for that all the time. It's just a matter of like getting in the habit of, if you don't understand something, you know, keep that in mind, and you know, it could be worth it to dig into it and to do a little research. This isn't like to pressure you to go back to college or anything crazy, but it's just generally having like a sense of curiosity, I think, can make your life better, in my opinion, from my experience. But yeah, that's, I guess, what I wanted to talk about. And I feel like, I don't know, I feel like this is something I could talk more about. I'm curious about you guys' thoughts. So shoot me a DM or comment down below. I don't know if you can do that on podcasts. I think you can. I think you can comment in Spotify, at least. I'm not sure about Apple Podcasts. But okay, so now I'm moving on to my sharing is caring segment. One thing that I would love to share with everybody, but especially my listeners who menstruate, I have been wearing an Aura ring for over a year now. This is not sponsored, by the way. I will let you know if anything that I recommend is sponsored. I mean, that would also be great if I could get a sponsorship from Aura Ring. I would 100% do an ad for them, because I love how much I've learned about myself through wearing an Aura Ring every day. So basically, I started using it as a form of birth control, because it takes your basal body temperature in the morning or throughout the night, and then I think it averages it out in the morning. And if you don't know about the menstrual cycle, one, regardless of your gender, I think it's important to understand, because it is a big deal. During different phases of our cycle, our body temperature is different, and it varies. And so there's a baseline, and it's below that temperature, then you're in one phase. And if it's above that baseline temperature, you're in a different phase. So after you ovulate, I guess I'm giving a full-blown lesson on menstruation right now. I honestly think everybody should know this stuff, because I did not learn it until I think I was 30, so, which is wild. But yeah, so after ovulation, your basal body temperature spikes a little bit, and then after your period, or once you hit your period, it goes below the baseline. And so wearing an Aura ring, I sleep with it on, I shower with it on. I only really take it off when I'm doing pottery, but yeah, I can wake up, open the app, the Aura app, and it'll tell me basically what phase of my cycle I am at. And when I am not feeling like myself, or I'm wondering when my period is going to happen, or I want to avoid becoming pregnant, I can use the information that's in the app to understand that, those things about myself. And it's been really great. I was on birth control, hormonal birth control, from I believe 16 to 30. And I was curious about how my body operated not on these hormones. And it took a long time getting used to letting my body naturally release hormones throughout my cycle and the different ways they would affect, you know, my mental state, my mental health and all of that, my energy. And now I have a good understanding of my body. And I don't know, it kind of ties back to that curiosity. Like, I was genuinely curious, what would happen with me? What would life look like if I allowed my body to do what it like it wants to do naturally. And it's just given me, like I said, just a better understanding of my body, my brain, my hormones. And the Oura Ring just makes that so much easier than having to take my temperature manually every morning. And it's also been a great form of birth control. Like I said before, me and Mike don't plan on having kids. And it's nice to be able to have that and for it to be able to predict when, pretty close to when I should be ovulating, when I should have my period. And so, yeah, it's just been life changing. And there's obviously other parts of it. So if you don't menstruate, it counts your steps and your activity level, your heart rate variability, your sleep, which that has also been really nice to see. But yeah, I use the Oura Ring app. And then I also have it synced with Natural Cycles, which is a birth control menstrual cycle tracking app. So I would highly recommend that. The Oura Ring. I feel like I went on forever about that. So quickly, I'll do two more recommendations. One is a podcast called Tooth and Claw. It's about animal attacks, which sounds kind of crazy and scary. And it kind of is. There are a lot of like really rough, like gory stories that the hosts talk about. But one of them is a bear biologist, and then it's his little brother and their best friend. And from the biologist's point of view, he kind of goes into the conservation and they all want to like respect the animals and teach us how we can respect and live, like coexist with these animals, even though they seem scary. Like grizzly bears and sharks and the animals, especially that generally people fear and have very negative perceptions of, they kind of like try and shift the audience's view to just see them as other animals like us. And also they talk about ways that these particular attacks could have been avoided potentially and how we can, like I said, coexist with these animals and respect them because, you know, we're sharing this planet with them and they deserve to be here just as much as we do. It's a really funny podcast, very lighthearted, and it's really interesting too. They talk about the biology and history of a lot of the animals and just in general from around the world. So definitely check that one out. And then lastly, one of my favorite YouTube channels is called Project Camp. That's camp with a K. And it's basically this group of people that live, they bought this, I don't know how many acres of land, but they bought a huge plot of land in like the countryside of Portugal. And they're basically building a commune. they're like working the land and building on top of like ruins and reusing materials that were already there and cleaning out the space, making it more fire resistant because fires happen a lot there in Portugal. And yeah, it's really cool. They put out an episode on YouTube every Monday, and I've been watching them for I think two or three years now, and to see the progress that they've made and how they work together and like how they organize is really cool and inspiring. So I wanted to give them a shout out and recommend them to you too. This was a longer one, but I feel like I really enjoyed talking about this particular topic. Next week, I think I'm going to be talking about a little bit more about my life and more specifically, and how kind of unconventional it is. I'm 32. I've been married for almost 9 years now. I work a part-time job. I am a business owner and I've been in the military. So I feel like, yeah, there's a lot of things that I want to share regarding my unconventional life and the things that I've chosen for myself, because I think that it could be encouraging or inspiring to other people who don't see themselves living a conventional like American lifestyle, because there's just other options out there. So Yeah, but that's going to be all for today. I hope you enjoyed listening to me yap once again. Thank you very much for being here. If you could do me a favor, I have gotten a lot of really sweet positive feedback via DMs and text messages. Thank you very much if you have sent me anything telling me how you feel about this podcast. But if you could write a review or rate my podcast wherever you're listening, that would be great. I would like for this to reach as many people as possible. I'm not gonna push it too hard. I don't think I'm gonna be asking this very often, but I thought I would put it out there because I have already gotten such positive feedback privately. So might as well see if I can get that a little bit more publicly so that other people can potentially see my podcast as an option, another option of the millions of podcasts on the internet. But yeah, okay. I'm gonna shut up now, maybe go make some pottery. You all have a lovely rest of your day, and I will see you next time in the sunroom. Bye-bye.